You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. NASA's Europa Clipper has successfully launched on its mission to investigate Jupiter's moon Europa. The craft will look for clues about whether the moon's hidden ocean might hold keys to life. We welcome back Bill McKinnon, professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Washington University. He's a member of the Europa Clipper science team and a faculty fellow in WashU's McDonnell Center for the Space Sciences. Good morning and welcome back to KMOX.
Yes, good morning from the sunny space coast of Florida. Although I understand the weather in St. Louis is equally fabulous.
It's not bad. No complaints here. Now, you have studied Europa for more than four decades. For you, what's the significance and the fascination of this moon?
Well, the last few decades have revealed that the nature has some interesting surprises for us. So we used to think the only places you might find life are worlds like the Earth, close to a star with a surface ocean. Now we know that there are lots of worlds out there in space, including in our own solar system, that have hidden oceans, just like you said, underneath cold ice. But it's warm down there because there's heat down there in certain moons anyway. And Europa is the belle of the ball in that regard.
Talk about the objectives of this mission. What are the three main things that we're hoping that Europa Clipper brings back to us?
We want a full understanding of the structure of the moon, its composition, its geology and geological history, and it all feeds into this idea is that ocean down there a habitable environment in the sense of the way we think of habitability, the kind of life that needs liquid water, it needs source of energy, which could come from the inside, and it needs the appropriate, elements, like carbon and nitrogen and so forth.
For you, for all the time that you've spent on this, how nerve-wracking was it to watch the launch and then watch for confirmation of the various stages that the craft has gone through so far?
It was mind-bogglingly intense. And I can tell you the entire team was down here for a broader meeting last week, and which was interrupted by Hurricane Milton, which in its wisdom passed right over the launch site at the time we were going to launch on Thursday. So naturally, that's why things were postponed to yesterday. In fact, the hurricane passed over and a tornado clipped our meeting hotel. So it's been a wild ride. But it all turned out wonderful in the end, and the spacecraft is doing fabulously out there in its happy place, which is outer space.
How long will it take to reach Europa?
It's such a big craft. It's not going direct, and so it's actually going to take a pit stop at Mars, come back to the Earth in the year 2026, flying very low over the surface, well, not into the atmosphere, but close enough, and then it will slingshot its way through the asteroid belt to Jupiter, arriving in the year 2030.
What's the challenge of creating a craft and the instrumentation on board that can withstand the environment and that length of time?
Well, time and space is not so much the problem, because in space, actually very little happens. But when we get to Jupiter, that's where the challenges are, because Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system, as everyone knows. And it has an incredible powerful magnetic field and radiation belt. It's like our own Van Allen belts on steroids, and any spacecraft that operates there has to be able to withstand that intense radiation bombardment. So that's where the real engineering challenge and design comes in. And I think we've met that test, but of course, the future is unwritten, so we'll see.
How long?
It's not a wild goose. We're not taking any chances. The engineers have really, really figured it out.
How long will it study the moon?
For years. So we're going to go into orbit around Jupiter and repeatedly pass by Europa dozens of times, mapping the surface, sampling the surface, the material that comes off the surface. We're not landing, of course, and probing the surface with the various, gravity fields and so forth. And it will go on until the year 4 years into 2034, but we're hoping then that all goes well, and then we will have an extended mission that will carry us forward a few more years.
How long does it take to get that information back once it enters orbit and starts taking those measurements?
It's not that long. I mean, it's just the radio time to from the Jupiter to the Earth. It just depends on how far away Jupiter is. So, it can be as short as an hour. But also, we have very advanced, solid state recorders now. Like we all have great, computers, and so we can store a lot of data from a given encounter. Gigabytes and gigabytes of data, and then we can stream that back in a more leisurely pace.
One last question for you. What's your true hope? What do you hope to hear back from the Clipper?
I hope to find an active region on the surface, what we sometimes like to call an oasis, because we see things that we think might be that, but we're not sure. That is where the ocean is reaching up to the surface of the ice and erupting, and maybe jetting vapor and particles into space. This would be a fantastic region for some future scientific exploration on the ground, as we say. So we could land, and if the ice is thin enough, this is my personal hope, because we have this radar that will see through the ice. If the ice is thin enough, then we can even imagine designing a machine, what we like to call a cryobot, that would actually melt its way through the ice and explore that subsurface ocean directly.
Well, thank you so much for your insight and for spending time with us this morning.
All right, it's always a pleasure.
That is William MacKinnon, professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at WashU, a member of the Europa Clipper Science Team, and a faculty fellow in WashU's McDonnell Center for the Space Sciences.